It's 4:06. You're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Veronica Rickert.
And I'm Rob Ferret. Coming up in just a bit, we'll learn how courts go about deciding whether to charge juveniles as adults in the wake of the recent stabbing case in Waukesha involving two 12-year-old girls.
First, there are a lot of famous tourist sites around the world, from the Statue of Liberty to the Great Pyramids. But our next guest veers off the beaten path, and in an online project, he's building a compendium of the world's wonders, curiosities, and esoterica.
Dylan Thuris joins us now. He's co-founder of Atlas Obscura. We've got a link to the project at the Central Time Facebook page. Dylan, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me. Great to be here.
Well, what kind of things do you try to compile there at the Atlas Obscura?
It's a wide range, and it's one of those things where you know it when you see it. we look for places that have a great story to tell, and it can be a place that's far-flung and very exotic, and it can be a place that's in your own backyard, and maybe you just didn't know the story behind it. It ranges quite a bit. But natural wonders, crazy outsider art projects, crypts, catacombs, that sort of stuff is pretty regular on the site.
Can you give us an example of one from your own life?
Sure, yeah. Well, I'm from the Midwest. I grew up in Minnesota, and I have a couple that are in Wisconsin that I would bring up because actually one of them was a real catalyst for me. When I was about 12, I went to what is a pretty well-known site in Wisconsin, although not necessarily well-known nationally or internationally, is the House on the Rock, which is one of the greatest, I think, one of the greatest collections, museums, just bizarre art and architecture projects in the country. I saw it on a road trip with my parents when I was about 12 years old, and it just opened a whole different world to me. I did not realize that places like this could exist. And since then, I really loved traveling to things of that nature. So in an interesting way, actually, the House on the Rock really set me down the path that I'm on now.
And you mentioned outsider art. Another Wisconsin thing that I think is on Atlas Obscura is the Forevertron, Dr. Evermore's salvage art exhibit.
Yeah, and that is another fantastic site. Actually, I got a chance to stop by there about a year ago. It was about 20 degrees below zero when I stopped by, so it was a fast visit. But it's a really what an incredible achievement that is. Really wonderful.
Well, looking further afield from Wisconsin, what are some places on your global travels that have really stuck out to you?
Yeah, so there's I'm always really excited. You know, this site is user generated, so people send in tips from all over the world, and we have an editorial team that looks into them and fact checks them. And once in a while, we get a tip that just we cannot believe we didn't know about it. And so there are a few that come to mind. One of them is a place in Turkmenistan called the Gates of Hell. And in the 1970s, a Russian drilling rig accidentally punctured a hole in the desert where they were drilling for natural gas and collapsed into it, creating this gigantic hole that was releasing natural gas. And so in an effort to sort of solve the problem, the Russian crew lit the hole on fire and basically left it there. And it is still burning today. It's over 300 feet wide. You can see it from Google Earth. It's just this massive flaming pit. And it's kind of just, it's unworldly. One of those strange locations.
That sounds like one that's best visited via the internet. Maybe one you don't want to, maybe can't see in person.
I think it's tough. Turkmenistan is not the easiest country to get into, and
that's maybe not on the Visit Turkmenistan catalog.
It is not on the Visit Turkmenistan catalog. Now, I actually believe the dictator of Turkmenistan has asked that they do something about it because it's sort of an embarrassment. Nothing's happened. It's still there, still burning, and I think we'll probably be that way for some time to come.
One thing that you guys recommend is sort of poking around, you know, maybe places you're not necessarily supposed to go, opening those doors that look obscure and seeing what's behind them. What kinds of things have you found by, going places you maybe shouldn't have gone or that weren't marked as obvious places to go?
I had one really interesting experience traveling in Italy, and this is a good example of where it's not necessarily about, you know, going somewhere you're not allowed to go, but actually sort of just following your curiosity a bit, and you might find something that really surprises you. So my wife and I were in a church in Bologna, and we were leaving, and we noticed there was sort of a door set into the wall with a little doorbell next to it. We thought, this is weird. What is this? So sort of got up the courage and rang the doorbell, and the door slid open. I guess it was on some kind of automated or some kind of like remote system. And we walked back into this sort of side chapel, and sitting in a golden throne was the 500-year-old saint relic of St. Catherine of Bologna, where that's how she was set, you know, 500 years ago, and there she sits today. Yeah. And so we found ourselves in this very intimate, very strange, kind of slightly overwhelming experience, just sitting in front of this sort of mummified saint. And that's a good example of kind of just letting your curiosity lead you to kind of down the half open doorway. I think usually you'll find that it's okay. You're not going to get in trouble. You might find something really incredible.
Before we get back to maybe some specific sites again, the Atlas Obscura project seems like it's as much about an attitude toward travel and exploration as the places you're cataloging themselves. How does this change the way we think about visiting a place?
For us, it's all about context and all about stories. And that's why we really stress that these places can be in your own backyard. I think it's easy to fall into a very well-worn paths. Whether it's when you're traveling, you're sort of, okay, I got to go see these five things that I know are the things to see in Paris or the things to see in New York. And same thing in your own city. You sort of follow the same narrow paths, and it can be hard to break out of that. But our hope is that by sort of reminding people that there's all kinds of hidden wonders close by, and that all it takes is to transform, you know, the house that's sort of the boring house you walk by every day into something totally magical is to know the story of the man who lived there for, you know, 50 years and collected every piece of anthropomorphic taxidermy ever created. And it changes the way you look at it. So our hope is that, you know, story is what makes places interesting. Whether you're traveling or at home, it's about the stories you tell to people. And that's what you bring back when you travel. So that's sort of the idea, is look at your world with a sense of wonder and possibility.
Well, you said that you were from Minnesota. And so if we want to discover more things that are in our neck of the woods, can you recommend some more unusual places that are in the Midwest here?
Yeah, I mean, it's a shameless plug, but in some ways I would say the best thing to do would be to go on. The site has, you know, approaching 10,000 different locations in it. So in some ways, the best thing is to go and sort of search, whether you're going to Minneapolis or going to another town, and look there. I'm trying to think of some good Minnesota. I mean, Minnesota has a great collection of questionable medical devices that is now a part of the Science Museum there, but it's a wonderful collection of quack items, crazy kinds of phrenology devices, and that's really worth checking out. So yeah, but there's a huge amount of stuff.
One of my random stops in, I can't remember if it was Minneapolis or St. Paul one time, was the headwaters of the Mississippi River. And it's just in a park downtown, and it doesn't look like much. It's not a lot of river there. But going there, you get a sense of like, hey, this thing turns into the Mississippi.
Yeah, yeah. And gives you a whole new perspective on something you might have passed by without even making note of it.
Yeah, it can be natural wonders, too. Mm-hmm. I remember driving by the San Andreas Fault and going, whoa, that's the San Andreas Fault. Sometimes it's what you know about it as much as the place.
Yeah, absolutely.
Now, is there something that you or your team have chronicled, you haven't been there yet, that you want to see someday? And actually, one I'll mention that was on your list, at least online, was the Monument to the Lady Whacking Meteorite.
yeah, that's a good one. And I think that's in Alabama, not too far abroad. So Yeah, that's a great one. A woman was literally struck by a meteorite, I believe, in the 1950s. And it was such a bizarre and rare occurrence that there is a small monument acknowledging this bizarre event. She was fine. She had a large bruise on her thigh. So, but yeah, there's many places around the world that we would love to go see. I mean, one in particular, I would really love to go explore. There's a couple actually in India that are very high on my list. One is the Living Root Bridges, which are in the wettest part of India, and are two trees where the roots have been knitted together over a period of 10 to 15 years. There's a sort of small bridge is built, and they're given a chance to grow together, and the support structure is removed. And eventually what results is a living root bridge going over rivers. There's one that's sort of a double-decker root bridge with a top crossing and a bottom crossing, and I would really love to go see that in person.
I hope you do someday. Dylan, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thank you so much for having me. It was a real pleasure.
That was Dylan Thuris. He's co-founder of Atlas Obscura. You can share your obscure sites on the world at the Atlas Obscura website. There's a link up at the Central Time Facebook page. Do you have a favorite site that you've gone off the beaten path to see, Veronica?
Well, just recently, my husband and I were poking around in Mineral Point on our anniversary trip, and we got to go inside the Badger Hole. So that means the place where the Cornish miners lived. Bored into the side of the rock is tiny little, kind of like a very rustic hobbit hole. It's just rock and floor. And it was crazy to think that somebody lived there.
My first week in Wisconsin, I went to a state park and I drove by a sign that said cow chip throw this weekend. And that's one of those times where I saw the sign and had to stop. And I'm glad I did. I saw the state record broken. It still hasn't been broken since.
Whoa.
243 feet, I believe, is our state record for a cow chip throw.
It's good to know.